Hello, everyone, and welcome to the After Party Podcast. Tonight, we are in between the scenes. We are trying to shoot yet another episode of We Shot First Star Wars Saga Edition, the Dawn of Defiance campaign. We're short a couple players. We're about to do some bottle episodes. And we are delving deep into the world of Fantasy Grounds, which we are having trouble figuring out, but we're getting there. So long, World 20. Hello, Fantasy Grounds, because we are finding, well, for one, the dice rolls are a little bit more favorable to players. A lot less bitching and whining from my players.
Roll 20 sucks.
I wanted to tell you guys a little story. There are some of our fans, and I call them super fans because they put up with me messaging them and talking to them. These are fans that have reached out, that have been with us since the very beginning, like 2 years ago, and leave comments or tag us on Facebook. Some are patrons, you know, that kind of thing. And eventually I would reach out to answer questions if they ever asked us a question or forward an email to one of you guys, you know, that kind of thing. And tonight's shout out goes to superfan Alan J. Cooper. Coop. My man Cooper and I were discussing some stuff about some old school games. Do you guys remember Gamma World?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that only Frank and I are old enough to remember Gamma World. It's a great game. I'm sure a lot of people that are over 30 going, yeah, I do. I never got to play it myself, but I always saw it on the shelf. I know people that have played it. Alan was surprised I even knew about it. So I reminded him my age. And he went on to talk about, it's his favorite setting. And it's much fun and it can get crazy. Every campaign he's run has a sentient Venus flytrap that became sentient to some old TV show. His used to watch Sopranos. The last iteration was one that watched Sopranos. He had the ability to control spiders that each one had an element. Fire, acid, cold, lightning. He thought he was the boss and people were disposable. And I just love this because he's making little Shop of Horrors comments, as it were. So I reminded him how I recently posted, I got the little Steve Martin pop culture bubblehead for Cheryl. And because she has the Little Shop of Horrors song, I am your dentist, I like to cause you pain. You guys remember that?
Say, ah!
It's her ringtone for our dentist. So when our dentist calls her phone, this, you know, Steve Martin goes off. It's really funny. So he's going on saying, you know, there are a few desecrated bodies. And I said, oh, that's funny. You know, a boss Venus flytrap at the end of a desk with a necktie. You know, he says the business suit didn't fit him at all. More like it was a sack over him. He couldn't walk. And he says, so his spiders would pick him up and his pot would float around. I thought that was really great. Then we were discussing using the Mutants and Mastermind system, which is actually in Hero Lab. You guys don't know that one?
I'm familiar with it.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit familiar with it, but I had to go on and start talking about our Palladium days, playing D20 Ninjas and Super Spies, the Palladium D20 game for that, and as well as playing the old D6 Star Wars, two games that I actually got to play in. Because I was the second edition D&D and the third edition D&D DM. But when we got to the modern stuff, we had Wes and Doug and those guys and Bill and those, you know, DMing those games. And I actually got to play, which is rare. We didn't play them a lot, but I did get to play. I was really excited about that. Anyway, so shout out to Coop. And then he was talking about some good and bad experiences with people that he knows. I don't want to get into particulars, it's a little personal. But it really struck me about how gaming can affect somebody's life negatively as well as positively. You have all these positive stories, right? Oh, as a geek growing up, and you know, D&D wasn't popular in the 80s and all this stuff, but in the 90s, Harry Potter came out and boom, suddenly it's fine to show your geekdom and all the t-shirts come out and Big Bang went from geeky to like mainstream and real geeks don't really watch Big Bang anymore. Only the vanilla norms watched it and
you know, real geeks.
Yeah.
Big Bang. just going to postulate that one, throw it out there. I couldn't stand it.
So not to get on a depressing note about, you know, but like the bad side or the dark side of it, because there was a great movie starring Tom Hanks called Mazes and Monsters back in the day. And it was the movie about the original story in the late 70s where the sheriff was looking for those college kids that went missing. And he goes
Tom
into...
Tom Hanks was young. It's not his fault.
It was a good movie.
He needed to pay rent.
It was a good movie. Tom Hanks played the cleric guy who actually sort of, you know, lost it. And the character sort of took over, as it were, you know. That what syndrome is that where the actor gets so in character and he doesn't come back? They talked about method acting, and they talked about famous actor from the silver screen. He did The Christmas Story, Best Day in Your Life. Oh, why can't I think of it?
Christopher Michael?
No, no, no. We're talking old school, like, you know, your grandparents' movie stars.
Sorry. Easy one.
The line from the movie is, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Oh, Miracle on 64th Street.
No, I think it's A Wonderful Life. Maybe that's it.
Well, then why are you asking me?
Because you're supposed to know these things, Messina. I can't be the only movie geek. You watch movies.
Did you know that there's another module before Dawn of Defiance?
There is?
Called Prelude to Defiance.
So the third movie, they dump Order 66 and we pick up a campaign, 10 modules, and we're in the second one. We've got a ways to go, which happens 3 months after Order 66. Now, we really stalled Dice Before Dishonor unintentionally, like 23 episodes. People got mad.
I'm just reading about it. There's a guy here because I looked up Dawn of Defiance on Fantasy Grounds, wondering if maybe I could find somebody that had like a map set or something that you could just drop into the images and it would already have grid on it.
Yeah.
So it just popped up this thing and I'm just reading it. And the guy's like, great intro module. Like, I was head marshal for Gen Con for Prelude to Defiance. It was a great intro module for actually the first part of the first module. The story starts 3 years after episode 3.
Yeah, our story starts 3 months after episode 3.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that. Anyways, sorry to sideline you.
No, no, that's cool stuff. I mean, we were about to shoot Star Wars and I'm starting to stall here on the whole Christmas story. That's very cool to know. Well, has anybody got any other movie, Christmas, Star Wars stories to... Oh, wait a minute. If you put all of it together, you get the worst movie ever. The Star Wars Christmas special.
It wasn't the worst movie ever.
Did you guys know that our Star Wars Christmas special is our biggest episode ever?
Really?
It is. It has more hits, like double any other. I don't know. We're going along so many hits and X amount of hits. And all of a sudden, because I did hype it, but you know, and all of a sudden, like there's the Star Wars episode, Posers, Shams, Christmas. And it's like, boom, it jumps off the chart and then just dives back down to our regular fans. It's like, oh, I hope everybody enjoyed our Christmas special, you know, a little
That's
bit better.
Funny.
Yeah. I guess everyone just had to know if it was better than the Wookiee family.
It probably was.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Well, gentlemen, it's been fun, and it's time to go to work. Some people say I make this seem like work for them. Do you guys have fun anymore? Are we still having fun?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
No, the vast majority of the time we're having fun.
He's just upset with me because, shout out to extra super fan Doug Baldwin, who called him on a dark side point that I owe Matt. That I haven't officially awarded in game yet, you know, but I assured him that he'd get his dues.
I'll take it because you also gave us a level.
I didn't give you a level.
Okay, we earned it, but you told us.
The module. No, as Ryan puts it, I'm in love with first level because none of our characters ever level ever.
I know. Except in Star Wars. This is level 4. This is a record for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because I think the last time we played, we managed to get up to like third level, I think.
We've been playing Star Wars for 2 years, and we've not been playing it consistently.
No, no, I mean the first time we played Star Wars in your basement.
Yeah.
Oh, when we were trying to put together a game for my son, Aaron, who turned 15.
Years ago, yeah.
That's when I first actually met Messina and your buddy Rob.
Right.
And a lot of droids that had sock puppets over their extremities and and Aaron with his fuzzy lightsaber, you know.
Yeah, Jawas with rocket launchers.
Yeah,
it was an exciting time in the galaxy.
Now, shout out to our intern, or I should say former intern. Lad's picked up a second job and to get out of debt, and he's on his way, but he's, you know, still we're still back and forth and trying to teach him what little we know. Jared Mercer, who you will find DMing, co-DMing, and playing a little bit in The Man from Osirian Origins, as well as our Attack of Opportunity one-shot, our second edition playtest. No, not Doomsday Dawn. We're like the only person I shouldn't say that. I do know some podcasts that do second edition that's not Doomsday Dawn. There is Wheel to Woe, and there is the Back Patio Network. Great guys. I talk to them on Twitter all the time. Very supportive fan base. These guys have got it down. And they got into some of the Pathfinder Society stuff and some homebrew and some other stuff as well, where the rest of the world were podcasting and playing, you know, Doomsday Dawn. I am still holding out that somewhere in the middle, you can hear it here first, in the middle of The Man from Osirian's Mummy's Mask, no, in The Man from Osirian Origins, yes, that we should run Entomb with the Pharaohs and Stonepack Pyramid, because they technically are the missing key component in the Doomsday Dawn story. If you've read the module, so for you GMs out there, they mention a place called the Hollow, and they mention adventurers went into the Hollow and did this and came out. It's a footnote. Those two adventures written for the 3.5 system before Paizo actually had the world established and their core book rule system established, and they were putting down product about their world. Entomb with the Pharaohs and Stonepack Pyramid are 6th level and 8th level, and it's straight up Indiana Jones wild fun. I love those modules. I've run them twice at home, and I'll run them again online if you guys just let me have the chance. But for now, I suppose we should sign off, get back to work. So after the after party, you sleep and more work. Or in our case, just work. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Ciao, guys.